poor stays poor, the rich get richer. It's just so disproportionate.
You can't handle the truth!
Hey folks, another week of the True Review Podcast with new intro music. Isn't that just amazing? Moved on from the old Childish Gambino and onto this song, which is by Bad Meets Evil. So, interesting little thing there. Anyway, folks, welcome to the show. My name is Jono Kickless. I am obviously the host of the show. For those of you who haven't listened in the past 6 weeks, the show is all about news and reviews in the entertainment industry. So anything film, TV or music, we try and have a look at and give you a bit of news and share our thoughts and reviews on a few things. That's almost a bit of a tongue twister there. Anyway, you can check us out on Twitter. The Twitter page is at TrueReview_pod. You can subscribe from iTunes. Just search the True Review Podcast in the iTunes store. You can go on podomatic.com and search for us there, or you can even send us an email. For those of you that still use emails, it's truereviewpodcast@gmail.com. So that's all your social media needs right there. Massive show we've got today. We're going to have some news on Ghostbusters 3. For those of you who didn't know, they're most likely at the moment going to make a Ghostbusters 3 movie, so that's exciting. And I've got some news on another popular franchise that will be returning to movie screens. We've got another week of trailers to look at, so they're always exciting. We've got reviews on Captain America, and I was going to review Fast 5, but I had a bit of trouble getting a decent enough copy of it. So I actually also saw during the week Rise of the Planet of the Apes, so I'll give a little bit of review on that one. We're going to have a look at Coldplay's upcoming album called, I'm going to try and pronounce this the best I can. It's called Milo Xyloto. I'm just guessing that's how you say it. But yeah, we'll have a look at that a bit later. We've also got reviews on the brand new Red Hot Chili Peppers album. And I finally managed to get a copy of Panau's new album. Yay! So we'll have a review of that one as well. What else have we got? We went onto Facebook during the week and asked a lot of people some of their input on some TV shows that they thought got cancelled early in their run, so I'll go through that a bit later. I've got some of the usual reviews on the weekly TV shows we've been looking at, and yeah, well, we're also going to debut a new segment, which is starting right now.
The True Reviews Celebrity of the Week.
Yeah, so celebrity for the week, and this was only announced over the weekend, I'm actually going to give it to two celebs this week, is Beyonce and Jay-Z. They're having a baby. Is it going to be a boy, or is a their girl gonna run this world? Oh my god, I can't believe I just fucking said that. So, they're my celebs of the week. Congrats to those guys. And I will try not to use terrible pun humor every week of the show. But let's move on to the movie section of the show. Alright, on to the first portion of the show. We're going to be talking about movies, obviously. A little bit of fun movie trivia for you guys here. In 1898, so 14 years prior to the Titanic tragedy, author Morgan Robinson wrote a novel called Futility. This fictitious novel was about the largest ship ever built hitting an iceberg in the Atlantic Ocean on a cold April night. The fictional ship named Titan and the real ship Titanic were similar in design and their circumstances were remarkably alike. Both ships were labelled unsinkable. So that's a bit of amazing trivia for you there. Don't know whether it's bullshit or not, but Yeah, I just found it on the internet, so it probably is bullshit then. Anyway, some news for the week. Actor Dan Aykroyd says Ghostbusters 3 will shoot in spring 2012 with or without Bill Murray. So, I'm just going to read you the article here. Dan Aykroyd loves to keep hope alive that there will be a third Ghostbusters movie someday. Even though anybody has ever met anyone who was hoping for another one. The article was from the other day, but it says, today Aykroyd appeared on Dennis Miller's radio show and strongly hinted that the movie is happening in spring 2012 no matter what. What else does it say here? This isn't the first time that Dan Aykroyd has said there would be a release date or that they were going to start filming. He also stated back in 2009, another actor from the series, Harold Ramis, said the filming could begin in 2010. Production Weekly reports the filming beginning in May 2011. So we don't know whether to take Dan Aykroyd's word for it this time, but it looks like it is on the cards. I'm not sure whether I would like to see a Ghostbusters 3, especially so long after the second one came out, so that's a little bit of news on there, and you can find that report, you can find that on imdb.com. Some other news for the week here, Scary Movie 5 is in the works, as they've hired writers, and they hope to bring back some previous cast members. So they've gotten in contact with some former cast members like Anthony Anderson, Regina Hall and Kevin Hart, who have all appeared in at least two of the franchise's previous four movies. No word on a director yet. And there's no actual script yet, obviously, because they hired writers. They've set it for April 2012 release date, but there hasn't been much talk about it since they released that earlier this year, that date, that is. That is actually 8 months away. So if they're going to write a film, get all the actors and get a director, that's quite a quick amount of time that they need to do it. It doesn't say anything here about Anna Faris returning at all. She pretty much is what makes majority of the movies, and she's a good comedic actor, so that'd be interesting to see whether she's in it or not. But yeah, so that's a little bit of news this week, and you can catch that article on www.slashfilm.com. Alrighty, on to some of the trailers for the week. First trailer we got here is the trailer for Underworld Awakening, which I think is the third or fourth Underworld. I don't really follow the Underworld series, but yeah. Kate Beckinsale is back for this movie. So she returns as her lead role as vampire warrioress Selene. And the storyline behind it is she escapes imprisonment to find herself in a world where humans have discovered the existence of both vampires and lycans, and they are conducting an all-out war to eradicate both immortal species. So I'm not sure how you would eradicate an immortal species, but that's a bit interesting. There's no release date for the movie yet, but it should be out sometime in 2012. Another trailer I checked out was for a movie called Puncture, which stars Chris Evans. Chris Evans obviously played Captain America. He was also in Fantastic Four, blah, blah, blah. The movie is a David and Goliath law drama about a drug-addicted lawyer who takes on a health supply corporation while battling his own personal demons. So that one looks interesting, actually. And not much of a ensemble cast, but I'm sure it'll still do the job. No release date for this one either, but it should be out later this year. The third trailer I checked out was a comedy movie called The Father of Invention, which stars Kevin Spacey and Camilla Bell. The movie is about Kevin Spacey's character, who's called Robert Axel, who is an eccentric inventor who, through wealth and fame, finds unexpected misfortune, and after many hardships, is ready to redeem his name and rebuild his billion-dollar empire. It looks okay. Kevin Spacey's been actually in a few movies recently, so he's getting back in the bandwagon. He is generally what saves a lot of these shit movies, so if he does well, this movie might go alright. Release date is the 14th of October 2011. That's in the US, actually, so it should be out sometime around then in Australia. And some other trailers you should check out while you're at it. There's a movie called Red Tails, which stars Bryan Cranston and Cuba Gooding Jr. And another movie called John Carter, which stars Taylor Kitsch and William Dafoe. So they're the trailers for the week. Some movies opening in Australia this week. These movies are all out September 1st, which is tomorrow. A movie called One Day with Anne Hathaway. Didn't mean to rhyme that, but that's just how it sounded. Final Destination 5. And I didn't think they were going to make another one of those, but yeah, that's out. And a movie called The Help, which stars Emma Stone. So all three of those are out in the movies tomorrow. Alright, on to some of the reviews for the week. The first review I've got here is a review of Captain America, The First Avenger, which stars Chris Evans, Tommy Lee Jones, and Aussie himself, Hugo Weaving. Obviously, this movie is a comic book adaptation. It's the first proper feature film, as far as I know. And it seems as though the Marvel comics seem to do a little bit better job with their movies at the moment. Not counting any Batman movies. I wasn't too sure whether Chris Evans would have played Captain America that well. But I sort of warmed up to him by the end of the movie. It took me a little while to convince me that he was going to be a good fit for the role. Some of the CGI work is a bit interesting, because at the movie, Chris Evans' character, Steve Rogers, is supposedly like a really short, unmuscular guy, which Chris Evans obviously doesn't look like that. So they use CGI to make him look smaller. In some of the scenes where he's talking to other people, it looks a little bit odd, just because the proportion of size changes, or it looks like it changes. It could just be me, but yeah, that's a little bit interesting. The cool thing about the movies is the movie that it's set in the 40s, which is always cool to see how Hollywood does that. So that was cool. I'm not much of a Captain America fan, so I didn't know really the backstory on how he became Captain America, what his powers were, etc. But the movie did really well at telling you all that, even if it was jam-packed into a two-hour movie. Some of the music in the movie sounded, and this is going to sound really odd, for those of you that ever had a Nintendo 64 and had the game Shadow of the Empire, which was a Star Wars game, some of the music in the movie almost sounds exactly like that. So if you ever get the movie on DVD, watch it back, and you'll hear those little the music in the background. It's pretty funny from my point of view. Not quite, probably from quite a lot of people. Hugo Weaving always does awesome with his villains, and he had to put on a bit of a German accent for it, but he was great in the movie. Another cool thing in the movie was there was a cool blend of 40s and 50s technology and future technology. That's obviously an incorporation of some of the Marvel comic characteristics. And the last thing I'm going to talk about was the leading lady in the movie, whose name is Hayley Atwell, and she's not very well known yet, but she actually did really well playing the love interest in the movie. And Tommy Lee Jones as the I think it was a general in the army, the role suited him no doubt, so that was really good. I enjoyed the movie very well. Ended a bit weird, but it's the movie's pretty much set up for the Avengers movie, which will be coming out sometime next year, so that's why the ending of the movie was a bit odd. But I know they're going to make a second one of this, and that's probably good. And yeah, so I gave the movie 8 out of 10. Woohoo! Alrighty. Next movie I looked at was Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which has just been released recently in the movies. It stars James Franco, Frida Pinto, who was in Slumdog Millionaire, and I'm going to give a shout out to Andy Serkis, who did all the CGI work for the monkeys. So that was cool. This was obviously a prequel for the series of Planet of the Apes movies, so it was a good setup for some of the later movies. James Franco was an interesting choice for me in the lead character, just because I'm not quite convinced he can play a serious role yet, but I haven't seen 127 Hours yet, so if I see that, maybe I'll have a bit of a change in mind. But he did an alright job, but yeah, I don't know whether he would have been the best choice of the cast. The CGI was awesome, and the monkeys almost looked pretty much real, which was great. There was a great supporting cast, i.e. John Lithgow as James Franco's dad in the movie. It was a good setup, so the movie progressed really well and told a good story as the movie went on. And you, because it's a prequel, you always, and you may have seen the originals or the sequel movies, you sort of know where the movie's heading, so it's interesting to see how they progress it and how they incorporate any future stuff into it, which is good. This one had it was another sort of movie that showed a lot of future type technology, which is sort of believable, especially seeing the storyline behind the movies. I'm getting a bit sick of seeing all this future technology bullshit. And the end of the movie left you thinking there would be a sequel or a follow-on. Now, the copy that I watched, because I obviously illegally downloaded it, there was a few scenes where the monkeys were talking to each other in sign language, and on my copy, that was all in Russian, the subtitles. So I didn't really get to see that sort of interaction scene, so I might have missed something for all I know. One negative that I'll point out, Tom Felton, who you guys know as Draco Malfoy, he possibly has the worst American accent I've ever seen in a movie. And I hate to say that, because I'm sure he's a really good actor, but that just sounded really odd to me. And yeah, that was probably one of the negatives. The only other negative maybe was some of the scenes were a little bit boring, with the interacting between the monkeys and talking. And all I heard from people a lot of the time was how sad they thought the movie was. Just because, a little bit of a spoiler, but the way the monkeys are treated in the movie, etc., etc. So that might be the only negative, other negative. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. So that's my review of Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So they're the reviews for the week. A few DVD movies out on DVD this week, obviously. Battle Los Angeles, which is released today on DVD. And the movie Knockout, which stars Stone Cold Steve Austin, out today. And Jackass 3.5 is out tomorrow. So that's just a little bit extra on the Jackass 3 movie. Alrighty, so that's the movie section of the show. I'm going to move on to music. Alrighty, this music trivia here to start off is a little bit of a follow-on from last week's. Last week I did mention what was the first ever music video screened on MTV, and that was Video Killed the Radio Star. And this week I'm going to tell you what's the second video ever. I'm not going to do this every week, so I'm not going to be like, well, what's the third, what's the fourth? But the second video ever screened on MTV was Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. So that's a little bit of interesting news for you. Don't have heaps of music news this week, because not a lot's been happening. But I've got a few little stories here. Comedian Jon Stewart is going to host a Nirvana special with Dave Grohl and Krist Novoselic, whatever his surname is. So the three of them plus long-time producer for Nirvana. Butch Vig will host a two-hour radio show to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Nevermind. It's a way that it's going to be on Sirius XM in America, so I don't know if we're going to be able to check it out in Australia. Who knows, you might be able to. Sirius is using it as a way to honour Nirvana and the album Nevermind, which influenced a generation and marked a change in the course of music history no one will ever forget. So there will also be a Q&A session in front of the guys in New York, so that's interesting. A bit of other music news is Amy Winehouse, who sadly died, I think it was last month. Her album Back to Black has become the UK's biggest selling album of the 21st century. It has sold 3.26 million units, which has overtaken the former leader, James Blunt, whose album Back to Bedlam was the highest at the time. So that's another little bit of interesting thing there. It's sad that somebody has to sell the most amount of albums once they die. It's just the way it is. Just look at Michael Jackson and stuff like that. Anyway, onto the album preview for the week. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's Coldplay's upcoming album called Milo... I'm going to just try and say it again. Ex Lodo. It is coming out October 21 in Australia. It is the fifth album for Coldplay. Chris Martin stated that he did not think bands should keep going past the age of 33. But he later rephrased his statement, and what he meant to say was, as we should make this album as if it's our last, because that's the only way to proceed. So who knows if it's going to be their last album or whatnot, but yeah. So the album obviously will be released on the 21st of October. The style of the album has been called an old school American graffiti type album and the White Rose Movement, whatever the frick they are. And Chris Martin also stated that the album was influenced by the HBO TV series The Wire. And they've also stated that this album's going to be more acoustic and more intimate than their last album, which was Viva La Vida. Most of the band's recording was in North London, was at a North London church, actually. Which is their new recording studio, labelled The Beehive. And they have been recording with several producers that were on their last album. It was meant to be released on December 2010, but it was postponed so the guys could tour around their last album. You've probably already heard a couple of the singles that have come off it. One song is called Christmas Lights, which was released in December last year. And another song, which you would have heard on the radio quite a bit, is called Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. Their second single, or third single off the album, is called Paradise and will be released September 12th. So I'm a big Coldplay fan, so I'm looking forward to this one. And their music has slightly changed over the years, but it's actually gotten probably better, I'd almost say. And it will be interesting to see how this one does, because I know there's a lot of Coldplay fans in Australia, and they'll be looking forward to this one quite a bit. So that's Coldplay's album, out October 21. Alrighty, on to some reviews for the week. First review off the bat is the Red Hot Chili Peppers new album, which is called I'm With You. It's the first Chili Peppers album since their 2006 effort Stadium Arcadium, and it's the first album since their guitarist John Frusciante left the band. So he left the band back in 2008, citing creative differences and wanted to do his own thing, blah blah blah, the usual stuff. So they have now got their touring guitarist in the band, and I can't for the life of me remember his name. I didn't write it down, so You guys will have to look that one up if you want to know. The album does have a few sort of classic Chili Peppers type tracks, you know, with the upbeat tempo and, you know, the, I don't know how to call Anthony Kiedis' vocal style, but, you know, the sharp, sharp, sweet vocals. But other than that, a lot of the other tracks go on the more slow and acoustic type feel, and they just lack the sound that the Chili Peppers are famous for. So it makes the whole album seem pretty chill, so similar to their last album, which majority of the tracks were just like, I don't know how to describe it, just like they were sitting there like writing songs around a campfire or some crap. You can sort of hear the difference between the different guitar players. You just don't hear the same sort of guitar work, like the riffs and stuff like that. If you listen closely, you'll be able to hear it. The funny thing about the Chili Peppers is all these guys are such talented musicians, but they don't seem interested anymore in making like the high voltage type of albums. I don't know why, whether they're getting old and they just can't be bothered, or they think their fans have changed. Whatever reason, I'm a much bigger fan of a lot of their older stuff, and their newer stuff is just, you know, I'll listen to the album and just go, oh yeah, cool, whatever. But I'm not going to sit there and repeat it and listen to it, you know. It's just, it's not the same Chili Peppers that they were probably 10 or so years ago or more. Best songs on the album, Dance, Dance, Dance and Monarchy of Roses. And because I was pretty disappointed with it, I gave it a 6 out of 10. The other CD album, which I checked out this week, which I finally got around to getting, was Panau's new album called Soft Universe. It's been 4 years in between their last album, so that's a bit of a long time, but they still have that really unique sound that you, when you hear a song, you know it's the Panau guys. It's another great album to kick back and listen to, a really chill album. It's different from the Chili Peppers because you expect the Chili Peppers to be a rocky type album, but Panau, you know, is going to be the dance and a type album. They're obviously back with their great form. Now, these guys also form Empire of the Sun. So, some of the tracks on it do sound like they could be Empire of the Sun songs, but otherwise, they do differentiate themselves. You can see many songs on this album being dance hits or remixed into dance songs or wherever you want to put them. There's great use of drum tracks as well and synthesizers, which is always good for an electro type of album. Best songs I found on the album were called Twist of Fate and Solid Ground, and I gave it an 8 out of 10, which is pretty good. Some other music out this week. Icehouse have a new album called White Heat, and David Guetta's newest album, Nothing But The Beat, is released. So that's all the music we're going to be talking about this week. Not heaps coming up either, but we'll try and get in as much as possible. So let's move on to TV shows. Alrighty, TV trivia for this week. On The Simpsons, Evergreen Terrace is the street, obviously, The Simpsons live on. It is also the street that creator Matt Groening grew up in Portland, Oregon. So, a little bit of trivia for you there. Alright, bit of news this week, and this one only came into light the other day. Lost star Matthew Fox has been detained after allegedly assaulting a woman outside an Ohio bar. Lost star Matthew Fox was detained by police in Cleveland after he allegedly punched a woman in the breast and in the stomach area, TMZ reports. Fox allegedly tried to board a party bus without an invite when the female bus driver tried blocking his path, leading to the altercation. The woman struck back at Fox, hitting him in the mouth, causing a cut on his lip, according to a police report. The actor was later detained by cops and was released without a formal arrest being made. However, the matter was still under police investigation, TMZ reported. The bus driver said that the star smelled like a bar and she is intending to press charges. That's what she told TMZ. He stepped in for a right hook to my pelvis area and started wailing on me like I was a man. Fox was unable to be reached for comment, TMZ added. So you can see that on TMZ or news.com.au. So a bit of trouble there for Matthew Fox. Is he a bit lost in his head? I don't even know what I was trying to do there, but yeah. Another bit of news this week is the Aussie comedy show Angry Boys will finally get its HBO start date, which is on December 5. So that's another interesting little tidbit there. Quick review on some of the TV shows for this week. Another episode of Breaking Bad was on this weekend, which is a fairly decent episode. Majority of it revolved around Walter trying to continue to convince Jesse that he needed to kill Gus, and Jesse's slight reluctance, but then said he would do it. The majority of the episode, though, was about Hank slowly realizing who was connected to the blue meth, and he thinks that Gus is connected, even though the authorities are telling him not to bother. So yeah, he's sort of gradually finding out everything, which is quite interesting, and I'm sure it'll all come to fruition up until the last episode of the season. Another episode of Entourage was on this weekend as well. On this episode, Ari finds out that he might lose his business in his divorce. Turtle is having trouble with his restaurant idea. Eric is caught in a rock and a hard place after sleeping with Sloane's ex-stepmom, played by Melinda Clark. Vince is doubting himself after his Vanity Fair article picks him as being a womanizer, and Drama also gets his show back after staging a protest. So I guess it's a pretty jam-packed episode, and that episode was co-written by Jerry Ferreira, who plays Turtle on the show, so that's another interesting little thing for you there. Another episode of Wilfred on this week. I'm not going to go too much into Wilfred because there is a it's always a sort of darkish type episode, so I'll let you guys check that out. Now, during the week, I asked a bunch of people on my Facebook some TV shows that they loved that got cancelled too early in their run. Now, a couple that I loved, and I'm sad that they're not on TV anymore, one is Arrested Development, and another one is the show Life. I'm just going to read through some names here and say what they thought. We've got Olivia, who loved the show Freaks and Geeks. Now, I've seen one episode of that show, and it was actually all right. Big Foxy from the Ely Park Sharks loved Warnie's show, which I'm pretty sure was a talk show, wasn't it? Don't know about that one, but it's always good. Lael loved Stargate Universe. Candace, who has given me an abundance of shows here. I'm just going to read them all out. Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, Faulty Towers, Hey, It's Saturday, and Young Talent Time. Young Talent Time is actually coming back on Channel 7. Corey Creswell, frequent inputter, I should say. He loved How to Not Live Your Life. Riley loved Banana Man, Charles Dunn, Breaking In and Firefly, which I know were both pretty popular shows. Mr. Daniel Ogden agreed with me and said that Life was one of his favourites. He also mentioned Boston Legal, which is always an entertaining show. Big Turtle from Ely Park as well. Loved the show Gross Point. Scotty Curtis, Arrested Development, so that's another Arrested Development fan. Damo McCabe, Life As We Know It, was another one that he loved. Turtle also loved Live and Kicking, which was Channel 7's latest attempt at a football show to counteract the Footy Show. So thanks to everyone with their input. I'll probably ask another question and see what everybody thinks for next week's show. Make sure you all check out the show to get your mentions. That is almost it for TV, is it? No, DVD's out this week. TV DVDs. Only the one, really. NCIS Season 8 is out on DVD tomorrow. So if you're a big NCIS fan, make sure you check that one out. So thanks to everyone for their inputs there. And that is all we've got for the TV portion of the show. And another big show on next week. What are we looking at next week? We are going to take a look at some trailers for Ghost Rider 2, which stars Nicolas Cage, and some other movies here, The Hunger Games, and another movie called The Rum Diary, which stars Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. We'll hopefully get our review on Fast 5 next week, fingers crossed. And I'm going to try and do a review on Horrible Bosses as well. We're going to be looking at Drake's upcoming album called Take Care, which is coming out later this year. We're going to do the usual TV news and reviews, and we'll give you some start dates on some of the TV shows, because it's going to be September, and they'll be about a week away from next week's show. Also coming up soon, we're going to be having an Emmy preview show. I think I'll probably be doing it in about a week or so. So that's a bit exciting, seeing the Emmy Awards are coming up. I've been trying to get my hands on the MTV VMAs to talk about that a little bit, but I'm having a bit of trouble at the moment. But hopefully I can talk about it a bit in next week's show. So that's the show for this week, and that's next week's preview. And yeah, so don't forget to check out the Twitter page, which is at TrueReview_pod. Also, you can download us off iTunes or the Podomatic website, or you can send us an email at truereviewpodcast@gmail.com. I don't have any funny quotes or anything for this week, but thanks for listening, everyone, and make sure you check out next week's show, because it's going to be another ripper, and I hope everyone has a safe and happy week/weekend, and I'll catch you for next week's show. Catch!